Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in this election season, there has certainly been a lot of comparing and contrasting, not only between the major political parties, but also between the candidates themselves. If you had watched any of the television commercials or read through the literature that were starting to get in our mailboxes, way too much in our mailboxes. The goal of each candidate is to tell you where they stand on certain topics as compared to their opponents. So why do they do this? Well, it's their hope that you, the voters, will do the same, that after you compare and contrast all the possible candidates, that you will choose the one that agrees with your values, and you vote for them. So keeping that in mind this day, we're going to do a little bit of role reversal. You and I this morning, we're going to be the candidates. And the one that's going to go to the polling booth, the one who is ultimately going to judge whether he wants us, is none other than Jesus Christ. Now, at the onset, we don't have much of a chance for Jesus' approval, do we? I mean, just look at Jesus for a moment. He is true God and true man. He is righteous, knowing no sin. As God, he has all power and might. You and me, on the other hand, what could we possibly offer to Jesus? Next to the righteous one, our unrighteousness is painfully obvious. Standing next to God incarnate, our ungodliness becomes all more evident. Standing next to the Almighty God, our sinful weakness is crystal clear. What, if anything, is there in us that would even draw a slight bit of Jesus' attention? Let's be honest, we're more like those candidates who throw their hats in the ring with big dreams and aspirations, and then after the first caucus realize where they truly stand in comparison to others, and they quickly and quietly remove their names from further contention. And I wonder if that's not how the woman in our gospel lesson felt after Jesus started talking to her. Here she was, a lowly Samaritan in the presence of a Jew. And to make matters worse, this Jew mysteriously knew her troubled history. Oh, she tries to cover it up. I have no husband, she claims. Yet this Jewish man knows the truth. In fact, we've had 5 husbands. And the man you now are with, he's not your husband either, is he? Now caught between a rock and a hard place, she does what any good candidate would do. She changes the topic very quickly. But the contrast remains painfully obvious. This woman is in the presence of one sent from God who knows her past and her present. Painfully obvious, this woman, along with you and me, have no absolute truth or chance to win over Jesus, or for that matter, our Heavenly Father. But as we've seen in elections past, surprises do happen, don't they? We can even say on election night, miracles do occur. And that's exactly what happened to you and me. As you and I stand before God, he sees us for the sinners we truly are. He sees how we continue to disobey his commands, how we continue to put ourselves in the needs of our neighbors. Yet with all of that against us and so much more, It is the Apostle Paul that reminds us that God showed his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is the miracle of the cross of Jesus. By Christ's death, your standing before God has changed. Since Jesus offered his life for you in the eyes of God, you are no longer unjust, but just. No longer unrighteous, but clothed in the righteousness of Christ. No longer a sinner, but a saint. No longer an enemy of God, but now at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Truly doesn't make any sense, does it? Why would the Almighty God show mercy and grace to those who don't deserve it? Because that's how much God loves you. Every time you gaze your eyes upon the cross, God's love for you is revealed, proven, and demonstrated. As Jesus went to the cross on that first Good Friday, it's as if we can hear him say, I'm giving my life for yours. I will endure the punishment you rightly deserve for your sin. For I am your good shepherd, and I will lay down my life for you, even though you are a sheep that loves to wander. I will pay the debt of your sin, a debt you can never pay. I, the sinless Son of God, will suffer in sadness so that you, the sinful child of man, may live in gladness. Before we know it, the final candidates will have been selected. You and I, by comparing and contrasting, will have made our decision. For those not selected, I'm sure there will be disappointment and maybe some wondering of what could I have said or done differently to sway the people in my favor. In comparison, you and I will someday stand before God in our judgment. In contrast, however, there's nothing that we can say or do to sway God in our favor. That's because God in his love has already chosen you. Even before the foundation of the world, Paul told the Christians in Ephesus, God chose us so that we should be holy and blameless before him. And all that was accomplished solely on the grace of God. For if it were not for the grace and love of God, you would not be able to stand. But through Jesus, our standing before God has changed. And the proof is the cross. For there you, the sinner, are forgiven. You, the unworthy of love, are loved abundantly, unconditionally, and eternally. You, the suffering one, are given peace, endurance, and hope in trial and sorrow. And all of this based on this one thing, and one thing only. For while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. Amen.